Whenever events like the past few days occur, you can see World War III trending on Twitter, being discussed. People are understandably worried about what might happen. But the wider implications of Saturday's attack by Iran on Israel are significant, and the response are significant, even without major superpowers joining in. There are questions to be asked about what might happen. Will Islamists be emboldened? Will they suffer a major setback? Or perhaps will there be a long-lasting paradigm shift that could be the first step towards a sustainable peace in the Middle East? And if there is to be such a paradigm shift, what are the steps that will need to be taken by whoever can make that shift happen? Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 193 of the war in Israel. James, your first thoughts on what the world might look like and what the next few days might do to change the way the world looks at the moment and in years to come.
May I indulge a little fantasy in what I would like to see happen?
Well, this is a family show, as we said, but yeah, sure.
Not that kind of fantasy. A geopolitical fantasy in which the United States recognizes for the first time in 45 years that it is at war with Iran, that Iran has been at war with them systematically in various ways. Sponsoring terrorism, killing American troops in the Middle East. Just since October 7th, Iranian proxies have killed multiple American soldiers in the Middle East. Ayn Rand identified in her brilliant article, The Roots of War, the fact that dictatorship is the cause of war. When a, parasitical dictatorship runs out of domestic victims, it will seek victims abroad. But I will make a distinction here. Any dictatorship, therefore, is subject to being morally overthrown, period, full stop. And what we have here, and Ayn Rand identified the factors, what really makes a dictatorship, suppression of free speech. How many times have Iranians taken to the streets to try and protest or overthrow their government, only to be brutally suppressed? There's no
Okay, while we fix James's technical issues, yeah, let me say what I think
There, perhaps
Israel
that'll be better.
should.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, yeah, but now we can't. We can only hear you say, "Can you hear me?" So yeah, maybe it's best if you leave the call, come back. Hopefully that'll improve the situation. But yeah, we have talked almost as long as well, not as long as Netanyahu has been talking about Iran. But Israel has talked about some of America's leaders have talked about how much of a threat Iran is. While what Iran was doing to justify being called a threat was actually threatening, was saying, was calling America Big Satan and Israel Little Satan, was not just threatening but actually attacking the U.S., attacking Israel, attacking Jews around the world, through its proxies, of course. So they have plausible deniability. Although that deniability is not actually plausible, it's just it gives the West the plausible deniability that they seem to want in order to avoid doing what must be done with Iran. Now, the fact of Iran's attack being what it was on Saturday, which is intentionally kind of overwhelming in the number of drones and missiles fired, and intentionally not harmful in the way that they could do what they've been doing for decades, and playing the West, playing America against Israel, having Israel's so-called allies say, "Look, you got to win," as Biden said, because you managed to shoot down the drones and missiles that Iran chose to fire at you in this attack, with the large number, but it could have been a much larger number, and of course not the most effective of weapons. This is Iran's way of showing, the threat that we pose to Israel is still there. It's still growing, and it'll continue to grow, and it'll continue To be this sort of mostly proxy war. If we want, we can do a bit more, but it's not going to be the all-out war that we're promising in the long term to wipe Israel off the map, just because we don't have those capabilities at the moment. Now, you may have seen Israel say not Israel, Iran say about Israel's potential response. That first of all, after they were done with their attack, they said, we're done. If Israel attacks, we'll respond in a much harsher way. And then recently they said we will respond with weapons that we haven't used yet. So, and they know that this is playing Biden like a puppet. This is a way of making sure that Biden makes Israel not act. And not act until it is too late. James, I see that we have you back video wise. At least it's been like 10, 15 consecutive seconds of non interruption. So let's see if that works now. And after that, we'll go to Christian Super Chat.
Yeah, well, we are definitely being played. I mean, with Biden saying reportedly, take the win, as if this kind of aggressive attack is a win, even though most of the, like I said before, punches, swings were blocked, so they didn't land a punch. I mean, it is obscene that you shoot at someone, and because their bulletproof vest protects them.
That was fun while it lasted. James, we have lost you again. So I will go to Christian's super chat. Thank you, Christian. Thank you, Bonnie, as well, for your super chat.
We say.
James, I'm going to read Christian's super chat. And if your connection lasts through the super chat, then we're probably good. So Christian says, Annalena Baerbock, German foreign minister, wants no escalation. So do many other European leaders, and even Biden. Should we not want escalation to finish off the mullahs? Yes, of course. And we've said in recent episodes, and I think we've said this even before October 7th, escalation will definitely happen. The question is when. And if the West continues this no escalation line, then it is saying, in effect, escalation will have to wait until Iran is ready to escalate the situation. And Iran will escalate the situation. It does act with very good knowledge of how these diplomatic ties between Western countries, which morally are getting weaker and weaker, how that works. So absolutely. We should want escalation as soon as possible. Israel's position on Gaza has long been, we don't want escalation. We can take these rockets because we have Iron Dome, and we can respond with little bombings here and there of empty buildings, but we don't want escalation. And on October 7th, Hamas was ready to escalate, and they escalated. And so this is how things will go in the Middle East. This is how things have gone in the Middle East. Since forever. So, escalation now is the path towards a real and sustainable peace, because Iran is the big problem in the Middle East, but Iran is also the one country where the West has allies who will take over if the regime is removed. And without the Iranian backing, all these proxies are, they have a problem. They're going to have a problem continuing. James, let's try you once again.
Yes, I just want to point out that Iran could be taken out morally as a dictatorship that it is. But since October 7th, it has become mandatory that we take them out. They were responsible. They caused October 7th by financing it. They are the moral leadership for Hezbollah and the Houthis and all of it. And in the wake of these continuing attacks, it becomes plain that they will continue if there is not a decisive response. If Israel cannot take out Iran by themselves, America should back them up and take out Iran. They should have done that 20 years ago. They should have done that 45 years ago. But in the wake of all of this, it is absolutely morally obscene for the president to say, take the win, as if this win was a win. Tell that to the 7-year-old girl struggling for her life. Just as I say, that one life in itself would justify a complete takeout of Iran. I do not understand this love affair that the left has with the Islamic Republic of Iran. They say we can't afford wider escalation. I don't understand that. Russia won't come to their aid. China won't come to their aid. We saw that the Saudis and the Jordanians even joined in the defense of Israel. They don't want, obviously, for various reasons, that to have caused any harm in Israel because it would demand a wider expansion. I would contrast this again with Biden before the Ukrainian invasion by Russia. When it became in the weeks leading up to the Ukrainian invasion, Biden issued all kinds of warnings. There would be military, economic consequences. He didn't specify if it was anything more than a limited incursion. Do we hear anything like that from Biden when it comes to any further attacks on Israel? No, we do not. We had no idea what the nature of the attack from Russia was going to be, but boy, Biden was there issuing threats. When it comes to Israel, as you point out, when they're getting attacked and not responding, boy, everybody is supporting Israel. When Israel defends itself, responds in any way, they're the bad guys. They're the bad guys. But ladies and gentlemen, and the nation that bankrolled October 7th must be destroyed. And America, if it's required, must be there. This is an aggressive dictatorship. Aggressive dictatorships like the Soviet Union must be dealt with. They are a threat to the entire world. And when, or like Russia today in invading Ukraine, when a dictatorship goes beyond simply victimizing their own people and they've attacked foreign countries when they're engaged in aggressive activity, they are a threat to the entire world. And everyone acting in their self-interest must respond to this. But I'm, as I say, intellectuals and especially on the left in the West have a love affair with the Islamic Republic of Iran. I haven't seen the likes of which since they had a love affair with Stalin back in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. It's despicable. They hate the West, and you can really hear it. In America today, we're having protests yesterday and today where they're chanting death to America, burning flags. I just want to remind people, yeah, these people want America gone. These people hate the West. When they're done with their goal of wiping out every Jew in the Middle East, they're going to come for America. They're going to come for Western Europe. You just believe it. They're chanting death to America. These people protesting, blocking bridges in my country, two bridges I'm very familiar with, the Brooklyn Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge in New York and San Francisco, were stopped. People were stopped from, I mean, people's rights were violated to get themselves across those bridges. And what are they doing? In the wake of the attack of Iran, these people are pro-Iran. These people are pro-Hamas. These people are pro-October 7th. There's no other way of looking at it. And they are anti-West. They're anti-American. They are on the side of evil here. There's no question about it. The only way to shut these people up is to show them we have no moral qualms about taking out the most evil regime in the area, the regime that has caused more death, terrorism, destruction, and October 7th. But for the funding from Iran, there'd be no October 7th. To properly respond just to October 7th means taking out the government in Iran. Now, there, as you point out, there's a population there that might actually want a different government. I would give them a chance to do that. I would aim for all the military facilities and the leadership. But if we need boots on the ground, we need boots on the ground. I wouldn't risk, I would use weapons before risking, and I wouldn't let collateral damage. Now, get this, that's a great example. There might even be a sympathetic population of innocents in Iran. We still have to put the lives of Western soldiers ahead of civilians there. That is just the natural consequence of a war. It would affect the way maybe I would do the war. We should absolutely right now target the entire leadership of the evil Islamic Republic of Iran. If we can do so safely from the air, let's do that. If the military experts say tactical nukes, I say tactical nukes. But the point is, Iran must be taken out. I don't know how, when. I'm not a military expert, but in the wake of October 7th, by itself, their funding of October 7th demands that civilized countries remove the leadership from Iran.
Yeah, and I think answered there also Gail's question, or it's not a question, it's a statement, but you followed up on it, Gail. Thank you for the super chat. Gail says Iran has emboldened Hamas supporters in the West. Yeah, this is when we talk about the potential for if Israel and its so-called allies did what's right now, the potential for a long-lasting actual peace in the Middle East. I think is great. I mean, the other countries in the Middle East, I'm much less optimistic about than Iran. I think in most of those countries, if you remove the current regime, which I'm not necessarily advocating for, although I wouldn't shed a tear for them, I don't think that something better will necessarily replace them. In Iran, I very much think something much better will replace that regime in Iran, as I said, is the big problem in the Middle East. If that becomes the ally that the West has in the Middle East, other than Israel, then countries like Saudi Arabia, that people are now celebrating them having all these reforms. Women can drive and stuff, so they're basically like us. They'll also be put in a different light. I'm not a fan of people looking at Saudi Arabia as an ally, and I think having a country actually become a civilized country from being the worst Islamist regime in the Middle East to becoming a civilized country will really, inspire. Maybe there are people in those countries that are better, and we just don't know it.
Well, it would certainly put considerable pressure on the more backwards Islamic countries in the area, certainly, whether they're Shia or Sunni, it would put considerable pressure for every country in the general area to civilize. But if it becomes necessary to take out a country, let's say that it was necessary to take out Iraq and or Afghanistan in the wake of 9/11, the big mistake was to try and foist a government there. It wasn't our job to turn those countries into democracies or Jeffersonian liberal places. No, but when you take out the government, if that's what you're doing, you're at least sending the message that the status quo was intolerable. And should that continue, guess what? It will happen again. So you're absolutely right. Iran has a population that at least gives us a good chance that a better government would take over there. Here, I just do not, th and for that very reason, I do not even see why the West should be so in love. We do every this disturbed me about Israel's response. Yes, we'll do something, but nobody wants a wider war with Iran. And every time I hear that on the news, whether it comes from America or Israel, I just, well, first I want to throw up, but then I want to raise my hand and say, I do. I want a wider war with Iran. I absolutely want a wider war. I want escalation. And that escalation is something Iran fears. You can tell it by the measured way they responded. They were doing this attack on Saturday night in a way they hoped wouldn't cause a whole lot of damage so that Biden would say, take the win. And Biden, of course, is playing right into their strategy in so doing, letting them get away with a massive act of aggression. A
Yeah.
massive act of aggression. And did you see the size of those missiles? If just one of those had gotten through, thousands of casualties would have occurred. Just one of them. Just one of them. And they've displayed their murderous intent to destroy Israel, just the attack itself. And by the way, that attack was not a complete failure on Iran's part. They are probing the defenses. They are checking out where the weaknesses might be. There are all kinds of military intelligence purposes that they may have gained from that. It's not a win to take. It was an act of aggression that must be responded to in the strongest terms possible. I just do not understand this fear of escalation with this savage, primitive country, the Islamic Republic.
Yeah, that fear is, there's a risk in it now, and there's no long-term thinking and think speaking of risks that we should take now, James, since we're in the last third of this show, I would take the risk, since your internet has been stable for a while, and start your camera as well, so people who scroll through YouTube and see us while you're talking don't just see my face and
You know what
know.
I just got? I hit the camera, the video start button, and it said unable to start video interference. There's some kind of interference with my video signal, so says my internet provider. I'm sorry.
Well, Roland, thank you for the super chat. Roland says internet money for James, so hopefully in the future,
I'll take
yeah. Thank
it.
you. Thank you, Christian, for the additional super chat. Christian says, maybe off topic, maybe not. What's your stance on a Kurdish state? I think the Kurds would deserve a state. It would be one of the better states in the Middle East, but they have no lobby in the West.
The poor Kurds. Now, I don't look at things in terms of ethnicities and religions and, things like that. Would the Kurdish state be a legitimate state? That is to say, a state that recognized and attempted to enforce individual rights. On the other hand, the poor Kurds have been forgotten, forgotten, forgotten. They've been an oppressed minority, whether it's in Turkey or Iraq, for how long? For how long? Again, they would be friends, it would seem to me, potential friends of the West here. And rather than helping potential friends of the West, like those poor people who are in just in the 21st century in Iran, they've tried twice to overthrow or protest their government. And what do they get? They get smashed down every time. And where is America to help those poor people trying to protest or overthrow the Islamic Republic of Iran? No, it's the good people in Iran. It's the Kurds who might actually be our friends that we keep ignoring and betraying every single time.
I don't know enough. I kind of tend to agree with you that the idea of giving a state based on ethnicity, which I agree with Rand, is a package deal in and of itself. I'm not thrilled about that. On the other hand, the argument could be made that it's the same thing as a Jewish state. Ideally, you would not have a Jewish state. Unfortunately, Jews are persecuted, and were persecuted and were slaughtered by the millions, and had to have a place where they can actually defend themselves, which is, of course, not something that the people who would like to see the job that Hitler started being finished, they're not happy with it, because Jews can now defend themselves. So
Armenians, Kurds, Uyghurs, Mongolians, how many people? And oh, but you see, when it comes to the bad guys that are being oppressed by dictatorships, the media and the West doesn't seem to give up flying crap. But when it's only the oppressed people, say those oppressed people in Gaza, the Palestinians that they take the side of. It's disgusting. It's a moral inversion of the most perverse character. It really is.
And one thing that should be done in regards to the Kurds is standing up to those who oppress them, including Turkey, and stop treating Turkey as an ally of the West. Turkey may have been once an ally of the West; it is now an enemy of the West. We talk about all these countries. By the way, I'm not a fan of everybody now thinking that Jordan is Israel's BFF just because they
No.
shot down some drones above their own.
No.
Above their own sky that they didn't approve of.
Right.
But Turkey made it very clear in advance that their airspace could not be used for any defensive action against Iran. So Turkey's stance is very, very clear, and Turkey is a member
Turkey
state of
is an enemy
NATO.
of Israel. Turkey is an enemy of Israel. Turkey says you can't use our space. If Iran wants to launch hundreds of missiles against Israel, that's cool with them. If Iran wants to finance October 7th, that's cool with them. Turkey must be booted from the from NATO. Turkey must be America must end its diplomatic relations with Turkey. I'm afraid they have betrayed the secular promise that Ataturk 100 years ago had started the modern state of Turkey with, because they have utterly betrayed it. They have now joined the Islamist fanatics, as far as I'm concerned, and they are aiding and abetting them. They have Hamas terrorists and other terrorists that they harbor right there in their own country, and they refuse to help. Now, with Jordan and Saudi Arabia, it is a very instructive thing. No, they don't love Israel. They're not BFFs of even the West, in my view. But the point is, they recognize Iran as a threat to them. Now, that should tell us something about how weak strategically Iran's position is. The blowback here that they're so afraid of escalation, would even be minimal. I'd be willing to take it. I'd be willing to take it in the wake of all of what Iran has done, especially October 7th, whatever that blowback is. But right now, Iran is particularly weak, but they are probing and they are testing. And Saturday night was a strategic test on their part to see what they can't get away with, what works, what doesn't work, what was more effective, less effective. Believe me, it was not a win. Biden is talking enemy talk when he says take the win and don't. Well, same with Rafah. Same with Rafah. But it's also true of the Israeli officials who say no one wants a wider war with Iran. I do right now, with the goal of taking out their leadership right now.
Michal says James is a gift to us. I agree, he's a gift to us as well. A couple of other comments in the chat. Benjamin says, imagine if in a country attempted murder was treated as a win. Ridiculous. Yes,
Ridiculous.
yeah. Imagine somebody, was on the loose for attempted murder and could be caught or was caught and could be tried, and they just say, well, look, he didn't succeed, so let's release him rather than put him on trial. That was when you were a prosecutor, was that your recommendation?
It's bizarre and it's perverse. Let's say that the attempted murderer in an attempted murder case, well, attempted means the person didn't die, right? It was only an attempted murder. I've put people away for life sentences for attempted murder. The person didn't die, didn't even get injured. They just took a couple clean shots at them with clear motive. That's an attempted murder. How would we treat this? I can give you an example after example after example. The bulletproof vest guy. I've noticed since I used that analogy the other day that other media outlets are starting to pick up that comparison because it is an apt one. It is a perfectly apt one. Just because an attack fails to deliver the blow, if you're in a fist fight, make it that simple, and you're able to block the punches, does that eliminate the threat of the attacker who started swinging at you? No, you just managed to block the punches so far. You still got to deal with the attack and the attacker. Iran has got all kinds more missiles, all kinds more. They've got faster ones. They could have unleashed Hezbollah in the north. No. They didn't want a full on because they knew that the Biden would say, pull Israel back and say, take this as a win. But did they gain all kinds of stuff from this attack? You bet they did. And what about that poor 7-year-old girl who was badly injured? That's one child too many. There should be zero. If she alone is the cause for doing this, she is a worthy cause for destroying the government, current government of Iran. That's my position.
There was a point that I was gonna make, and I think I didn't make it about Gail's super chat, but we are out of time, so I'll try to
Sorry.
fit it into the next show. The reality show starts a couple of minutes after we go off the air here. We will be talking about the media coverage in the West of Saturday's act of war by Iran against Israel. Make sure you tune in to that. Thank you, James. Thanks, everybody, for watching, and we'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Be safe.